Yep. Welcome everybody to today's IRTP call on the 14th of June. On the call we have Chris Chaplow, Kevin Erdman, James Fadell, Paul Diaz, Mike O'Connor, Michaela Nalan, Barry Cobb, Bob Mountain, Simonetta Batikir, from staff, Marika Koenigs and Christina Nordstrom. Apologies from Anil George, Matt Serlin, Badrin Chambet, and Oliver Hope. And may I please remind you to state your names before speaking for transcript purposes. Thank you, and over to the chair.
All right, thank you. Good afternoon, boys and girls. This is the last meeting we're having before Singapore for the very obvious reason that, well, Singapore's only a couple of days away. As per usual, I have to ask, does anybody... if they have any changes to their statements of interest, conflicts, and all that kind of stuff. I'll take that silence to mean that we're all still capitalists, apart from Mikey, who became a communist there last week, I believe. Right then.
Quite delightful.
Yes, I thought you'd like that. Right. There's two things on the agenda for today, so if we could try and get through these in a timely fashion, then we can give you all back some part of your afternoon or morning. The super efficient Marika has put together some slides for the GNSO update, which is on Sunday. Is that correct, Marika?
Yes, that's correct. Sunday from 2 to 2.45 local time.
Right, so for Sunday 2 until 2.45 local time in Singapore. If any of you are there and want to come along and provide moral support, please do, but you don't need to. If you prefer to spend your time at the Universal Studios in Singapore, that's completely understandable. Okay, so let's go through the slides. And does everybody have control over these, Marika?
Yes.
Cool. Right.
You should.
Okay. So I presume these are just. I haven't had the chance to look at these because I think you sent them to me earlier this morning, and I've been fighting a battle with my inbox all morning. I presume these are just a kind of an update on the previous versions we've used.
It is Marika. Yes, that's correct. I'm happy to quickly take you through it if you like.
Go ahead. Thanks.
So, oh no, my slides are moving. So basically, slide one is the background. I think everyone has already heard that one several times. So, charter questions on slide three. The recent development basically goes through the fact that, you know, we've gone through an initial report. We did a proposed final report, and based on a review of the comments. The working group has now submitted its final report to the council, which contains 9 recommendations. Then going into the recommendations on slide 6, I've tried to break down for the council the focus of the different recommendations, noting that there are actually 4 recommendations that specifically relate to changes or additions to the existing IRTP, the 2 recommendations that recommend initiation of a PDP by requesting an issue report, and then 3 different recommendations that relate to separate issues, you know, promotion of the ASEC report, the issue that we're deferring to the UDRP, and 1 related to the WHO is status messages.
Okay, just 1 second. We've got people putting hands up. James and then Paul.
Thanks, McKelly. James speaking. Marika, just a minor point, but I think it is important. When we say recommendations for PDP, should we say possible, potential, or candidate PDP by requesting an issues report? I think if we need to qualify that term so that it's understood that a PDP follow-up is not necessarily a foregone conclusion.
I'm happy to change it to 2 recommendations for requesting an issue report, if that makes you feel more comfortable.
That would, yes.
Okay, I'll take that out.
That was all. I mean, if that's what the group is, if that's the, you know, sentiment of the group, I just think it's important not to presume the outcome of the issues report, that's all.
Right, it's just, I mean, the way I've used the term PDP is more that you know, the issue report is the first step of a PDP. Of course, I know we've dealt with that in the PDP work team, that it is confusing because there is an official vote after the issue report to initiate the PDP. But the way I intended it here was as, you know, the first step in a PDP. But I understand, you know, what you're saying, so I'll just remove that for clarity's sake.
Okay, thank you. Paul?
Thanks, Michele. It's Paul. Quick question. On the overview slide, some things were fairly explicit and it's not very high level. Others were not. In other words, you know, we define a recommendation about UDRP PDP, which realistically we know from what staff has already presented based on the work and the public session that was done is not happening anytime soon. And then detail about, you know, the standardization of who is. My point is, I think it's probably worth putting in the detail about our recommendation about change of contact, because that almost certainly is going to happen. And if we're tight for space, why don't we cut back or even eliminate? Well, not eliminate, because, I mean, they are key things. But it seems we're putting details for things that aren't important or aren't going to happen and glossing over the two recommendations for a possible PDP, per James's point. By requesting the issue report. And I certainly see that change of control happening in IRTPC. So I think we would do everybody a favor by being more explicit on that particular issue, at least.
Paul, I think if you wait until the next slide, you see there that I've actually detailed all the recommendations. This is just intended as a quick snapshot for the council so they understand, you know, from a high level what the different recommendations relate to. Because if you go to slide 8, you see there that I've outlined for each of the recommendations the specifics and provided more detail on each of those.
I certainly appreciate that, Marika, and it's absolutely in no way a ding on what you've put together. It's very good. But, look, we all know how busy, at least they claim they are, our various counselors. If you have a slide called Overview, that's the one everybody's going to look at first. And I'm just suggesting I don't think it's worth spending the limited real estate talking about things that probably will never happen and then having a very high-level overview and referring them to slide number 8 for the details.
I mean, what I can do, because, I mean, this is just an idea of what I tried to do in this one is just to give an idea of the different recommendations. And, indeed, I thought it was hard to, you know, summarize the three separate issues. Because they don't have an overall category as such, but I can just make it as well. One recommendation to defer issue and, you know, take out the UDRP PDP and just make those shorter so, indeed, it doesn't give the impression that the ones with the more information are the more important ones. Because otherwise I don't really know how to fit everything onto one slide if I'm going to outline, you know, the four recommendations for changes and the two recommendations. I mean, I think at the same time you'll see as well that it becomes very clear in the motion, and that is something the council will definitely discuss in detail, where you see very clearly that breakdown of, you know, consensus policy recommendations, the issues for the new PDP, and, you know, those items that we're just basically, you know, deferring, like the UDRP issue.
Mikey?
This is Mikey. Thanks, Michele. I'm with Paul on this. You know, when the word overview comes up, I think of another word that's highlights. And I think it is the slide that people are going to tend to go to for the sound bites about this thing. And I would agree with Paul that it would be nice to get the important sound bites on one page somewhere, because there are a lot of folks, not necessarily the counselors, but, you know, folks outside the process who are not going to go through all the detail, and it would be nice to be able to give them one page where they can sort of see what we did over the last 2 years.
Guys, would you be happier if we renamed this slide from overview to highlights? To start with, never mind the content for a second, just in terms of the actual slide title, instead of overview, making it highlights, would that be a better title for you?
This is Mikey. Let me just throw in that it changes the objective of the slide pretty dramatically. So I didn't necessarily mean to say that we should do that. I mean, I'm fine with the idea.
The thing I'm conscious of is that if there's, I don't know how many presentations are going before the GNSO, but I imagine there's quite a few. And I also imagine that for a lot of GNSO counselors that they don't really have time to read and remember in gory detail each and every single slide of each and every single thing that they're looking at. It was just a suggestion. In terms of the wording, just to see, as I'm trying to work out what people are looking for here, are we looking at just kind of cutting it back a little bit and just kind of maybe a few bullet points here, or what exactly would you like to see? Mikey?
This is Mikey again. I think Paul had it right. Let's focus on the really important stuff.
So
maybe highlights is the right way to do it, but, you know, cut the words, you know, rather than, this is a great way to sort of mechanically introduce the subsequent section, but it doesn't pass a lot of the sort of basic PowerPoint slideshow rules, which is not too many words on the page, have a really clear point, et cetera, et cetera. And so, you know, one way to think about this is the highlights page that sort of outlines the big things that we want the council to be aware of and the rest of the world to be aware of, and leave it at that.
Okay. Bob?
This is Bob. Paul, is it a matter of having them in the right order, where the top priority items are at the top, or do you just think having too many items is just going to overload and cause them just not to focus on any of them?
If I can jump in, Michele, it's Paul. Look, guys, I'm just, put yourself in the role of a counselor and or somebody who might sit in on this. It just struck me, I mean, it really jumped out at me. We have overview, highlights, whatever we're going to call it. It seemed like we were not providing what are those key recommendations for a PDP. That jumps out at me. Hey, if we're part of this IRTP process going forward, we're going to be dealing with this. Let's put in a little bit more verbiage. Heck, it can even be in parentheses. Two recommendations for a PDP, parentheses, on change of control and... I'm sorry, I forget what the second one was.
Takeaway.
Okay. And, you know, there, that's all you have to do. Agree, you don't want a lot of text. To Simonetta's point, if we need to go to a second page, so be it. There was a lot of stuff that we dealt with. Let's not try and shoehorn. But if we do want to keep it on one page, for me, the UDRP one is a throwaway. That's not happening anytime soon. No need to highlight it here. And this stuff at the bottom, the very last point, again, if we're tight for space, is there some way we can cut out a couple words there to make that bullet point shorter? Just trying to imagine, you know, this is how folks are going to read it. Human nature, you go to the quickest way to get to the information, the bare minimum information you need. If one slide gets pulled out of the whole deck, the whole presentation, this is probably it. Let's make sure that we're putting the most important things that this group has done, put them forward in that one slide.
Chris, and then Bob.
Yes, McKinley, Chris speaking. I must admit, I was generally okay with it. We've got 9 recommendations, and the following slides detail those recommendations, but it breaks them down into the 5 different charter questions. That slide says we've got 9 recommendations, and it just tries to categorize them in a different way. In themselves, it doesn't explain what the recommendations are. It's just categorizing them. So one way is just to simply, if we don't like that different categorizing, to take all that out and just say 9 recommendations, and then go into the charter questions. Or if we think people are sick and tired of hearing about the charter questions and they trust us that we've answered our charter questions, we the following slides can have the recommendations, but not in the order that we've got them on the overview slide, but not in the charter question breakdown. And just one small thing, and I don't know, on the slide before, on the on my slide 5, it actually, I've still got a box saying add a subtitle. I don't know if that's come out on other people's or it's just a funny thing on my PowerPoint.
Where are you seeing that?
If I go back on the overview slide, the one we're talking about, but the one before.
On the recommendations?
Yeah, just and it should say, well, does it just say the recommendations?
Well, what I'm seeing,
Chris, are you looking at the file rather than the Adobe?
I'm actually looking at the PowerPoint, yeah, the actual PowerPoint.
Yeah.
Oh,
right, I'm looking at the Adobe.
It doesn't show up in the actual presentation.
Anyway, yeah. just double check that there's not a little box that needs deleting there.
Yeah.
Otherwise,
no, it's fine.
It looks fine on the Adobe, Chris. I'm not seeing that. Bob?
This is Bob. I would tend to agree with Paul on this one. If we have points that we've spent the most amount of time on and that we're passionate and we really want to make sure they get focused on, I would recommend we trim it down to those items that need attention. And then for the ones that either we aren't that important or we just don't think anyone's going to get to them, then have a slide called additional considerations with those items that probably won't get looked at because that's, you know, nobody really is going to focus on additional considerations. But, yeah, I would support Paul, though. Let's get a real focus on the things that are important.
Marika, do you want to intercede?
Yeah, it is, Marika. I'm happy to make the changes. I think, as Paul suggested, I think that's the easiest. I mean, at the same time, we're now talking about things that are more important than others. I mean, we did agree not to prioritize any of those and put them forward as is. So I think, as we didn't clarify in the report, although we might recognize that, you know, some issues are considered more important than others, we actually didn't do that in the report. So it's hard to now suddenly say, okay, this is more important than the rest of it. But I agree with Paul. I think it's easy to make those changes to add to the two recommendations for a PDP that it relates to the change of control and sick who is, to take out the, you know, to a UDRP PDP should one be initiated. I can also shorten the one on the who is status messages, just noting that there's one recommendation relating to who is status messages. And then I'm able to squeeze in as well some more information on those four recommendations for changes and or additions to the existing IRTP. So hopefully that will accommodate everyone's concerns and comments. And as said, more detail then follows in the next slides.
Okay, thanks, Marika. Any other comments? Okay, Marika, go ahead.
So, yes, it is, Marika. So, moving on. So, just as a reminder, I've included a slide on each of the charter questions so people can refer back as well or relate each of the recommendations to the charter questions. So, you'll see on slide 8 the two recommendations that relate to charter question A. I've tried there, of course, all the language, especially relating to the TEAC, doesn't fit on the slide, but I've tried to capture the main point of that in there. And I've basically done the same for all the other recommendations and charter questions. So I don't know if there's a slide on further information, which basically provides the links, and then just a question slide. I think as part of the presentation, I'm just trying to see now if I've mentioned it, but maybe it's worth mentioning on slide 4, actually, that all the recommendations have full consensus support from the working group.
Marika, this is Michele. I think that would be a very good idea to include that. I'd actually go so far as to include it somewhere early in the... Well, I suppose I've included it on the slide with the recommendations even. I don't know what's... where is it?
5.
Okay. What number? 5. I'd just put it in brackets. I'd put it in brackets on that title slide, on slide 5.
Okay.
I mean, just... We shouldn't overthink it too much. I don't know. Anybody have any other comments, thoughts, critique, positive things to say. Say something nice to Marika, everybody.
Great job, Marika.
Nice job.
Thank you. That's good. Good, good. You know, come on. All right, then, Marika. Thanks very much. And
McKelly,
James.
Chris here, can
I? Yeah, go ahead.
The main purpose of this is to support the motion. Is that correct, that the council are going to vote on a few days later?
The presentation itself just focuses on the report, because if we're going to the next agenda item, I'll try to explain as well. There are some small changes that have been made in the motion compared to the actual recommendation. So the presentation itself is just talking through the report, and there might be questions. It's not unlikely that the council will talk as well about the motion, but in principle there's a separate time set aside by the council to talk through motions that they're going to consider at the Wednesday meeting. And I think actually that session is on Saturday, so even before we give our update. So it's likely that some of the issues they might have already discussed or considered, or they might have specific questions based on their discussion of the motion.
Yes. So an astute council member might well have a copy of the motion alongside and sort of be looking back and forth between this presentation and the motion. I'm just wondering whether that brings something that we should put in the presentation or gives us the order that we should have them to help them.
I think in answer to that question, I think the slide 6 basically provides that kind of overview which follows the organization of the motion. So I think it is helpful at the same time for the council to see as well that, you know, how the different recommendations relate back to the charter questions that were asked. So that's basically in the second part. So I think this slide would map it against the motion, while the rest of the overview basically maps it against the charter questions, which, you know, was the task that was assigned to the working group.
Okay, good.
Okay, any other questions or queries? No? Okay, moving on. Are you able to put up that new motion, Marika?
Yes, should be up now. Do you want me to just talk through it?
Well, I was just going to make a small introduction just before you do, because you know this stuff. But you can do it much more elegantly than I can. Basically, we had a motion, a draft motion, which was, it was what it was. However, there's been a couple of minor changes made to it, and Marika will explain in very simple terms what those changes mean. I mean, substantially, in my own opinion, I don't think there's a huge difference, even a really significant difference. It's more to do with a slight change in the process rather than anything else. So if Marika could kind of walk us through this, it would be appreciated. Marika, go ahead.
Yeah, so this is Marika. So if you look at the motion, you'll see that if you move to the resolved A, basically those are the recommendations that specifically relate to changes to the IRTP as it currently stands. So those are recommendation 1, let me scroll through, recommendation 5, recommendation 6, and recommendation 9. Then the rest of the resolved clauses relate to the other recommendations that are not consensus policies and don't necessarily require board approval. So those are issues the council can act on. You'll see on the resolved clause, G, that one basically groups together the recommendation number 4, which relates to the change of control that we agree to or recommend to incorporate on the issue report for IRTP Part C. And then it also groups together or lists there the other issues that are still remaining under IRTPC as originally developed by that working group. As you see as well, there's actually one question I have, and I think that's something, you know, that might come out of the issue report or might be discussed as well in Singapore, is that there's one question there that relates to the requirements that should be in place for registrars of record to send an FOA to the registrant or admin contact. And my question is actually whether this is already an issue that is addressed by recommendation number 5. But as I'm not familiar with the background of that specific question, it might require some research as part of the issue report to determine what the issue behind that specific question was. Coming back to Michaela, when I drafted that motion and I submitted it to Tim Maurice, who is the GNSO Council liaison for this working group, and he expressed a concern in relation to recommendation 8 and 9. In both of those recommendations, we've said that or we've requested ICANN staff to develop an implementation plan, as we called it. And as I understood his concern, this was specifically related to the fact that normally in an implementation plan, ICANN staff goes away, drafts an implementation plan, does request input from the community on that, and based on that input might revise it and then sends it to the board for approval. I think his concern was that there wouldn't be sufficient oversight or input from the GNSO Council on those specific plans. And I think, you know, looking back at the discussions we had, I'm not really sure whether it was indeed the intention of the working group to move it that way. So a way of addressing that concern would be to, instead of saying staff draft an implementation plan, would be to say ICANN staff prepares a proposal for the GNSO Council consideration, taking into account the working group's deliberations on this issue. So as you'll see in relation to recommendation 8 and 9, that's the way we've tried to address that and make it acceptable and ensure that there's sufficient safeguards in there, that there is a safe for the GNSO Council on those issues. As you'll note as well, on recommendation 9, that one actually has been broken into two parts, because as the first part of that just relates to the deletion of denial reason 7, which I think everyone agreed on and is non-controversial, as it's, you know, as we agreed, it can be used as it currently stands. So basically that second part has been moved into the resolved D clause, which then talks about ICANN staff providing a proposal for this new provision to the GNSO Council for its consideration. So I think that's, in broad line, the overview. And I think my question for you all is if this is something that you think is acceptable, seeing that the recommendations have been slightly modified, 8 and 9, noting, as Michaela said, I don't think it changes the content or the substance of those recommendations. It just slightly modifies the process by which those recommendations are implemented.
James, and then Mikey.
Hi, thanks, Michaela. James speaking, and thank you, Marika, for going through this. I think I do accept the motion as it's currently structured. I just had a quick question, and I have been traveling quite a bit, so apologies if I missed this in one of the previous calls, but where we state that we are going to fold the change of control function into IRTPC, was that discussed at all? I mean, I thought there was. I'm not saying that that's a bad idea. In fact, I think that's probably a pretty good idea. I just wasn't sure if that was something that we kind of assumed was going to happen, or if we thought that this was going to be a separate PDP effort, or if it was going to be folded into B or E or something like that. And what does that do to the calendar/schedule for IRTPC? And I just was curious about that particular part, which is in the first sentence. First bullet point is G.
Marika?
So this is Marika. In response to that, if you look at the actual recommendation 4 on the report, we do say that we'd like to strongly encourage the GNSO Council to include these issues, change of control and 60-day post-transfer log, as part of the next IRTP PDP. So we did specifically say that, and I do recall discussing it as well, I think, in one of the calls. As for a timeline, I mean, if the Council adopts this motion, it means that, you know, the request for the issue report will go ahead and staff will start working on the issue report. I think it just means that there are more issues in there. Although, as said, in relation to this, the FOA question, I don't know if that's actually one that has already been addressed by the recommendations that this working group has put forward. So it might mean one issue less in the original IRTPC, but maybe two additional ones in there. Also noting that if you look at the original list of IRTPC issues, this working group actually already took one of those, I think, as well in this working group, and I think the one related to the lock status, I think that was originally under the located under the C group, but I think there was a recommendation that it related closely to one of our other charter questions, so I think it was recommended to keep those together.
Okay, well, you know, if I missed it, then I missed it, and I apologize. I just wanted to make sure that we were doing this deliberately and not just making an assumption. So, thank you.
Thank you. Next on there, Paul and then Mikey.
Question for the group. This resolved G, the stuff on the fifth page, the next to last bullet, we have a bracketed question to ourselves, but more fundamentally, I don't recall debating the idea that we would have requirements for the admin contact. Look, personally, I am very strongly against. That would be a very fundamental change in the policy right now. Basically, we would be moving the admin up to equal status with the registrant or registered name holder. At a minimum, I would ask that we change that to or possibly the admin contact, something like that. It can certainly be an issue for debate later on, but I don't want to present this as this group's thinking that IRTPC should have should be specifically addressing requirements for the admin contact. I don't believe we ever discussed that. Somebody please steer me clear if we did, and I really, really think it would be a very bad idea.
Paul, could you just clarify which one?
It's the next to last bullet on the fifth page. It currently reads, whether requirements should be in place for registrars of record to send an FOA to the registrant or admin contact.
Right. I mean, these issues come, and I'm trying to dig out the link. These are literally taken from the PDP recommendations or issues that were developed by a previous IRTP working group and approved by the GNSO Council for the different slate of PDPs. So this is not something that this working group has actually discussed, but comes from a different document. And I think I found a link, and I'll post that there. So this is a literary translation or copy-paste of that document, and it's in there now.
Okay, I guess what I'm asking, Marika, have we, to economize some words, perhaps changed language? Because consider what we have in front of us here. We're talking about requirements for FOA, all right, which is basically saying then if it directed at an admin, they are on the same level as the registrant. I know an admin can request, but the form of authorization is essentially the documentation that says I am the one with the registration rights, the final word on something. And it just jumps out at me as like, is that what we really mean? And I think that's an enormous security problem that we're introducing.
As I said, I mean, this comes literally from the document, and what I've done in the past when writing these issues report is actually trying to dig deeper back into what was the underlying motivation indeed for that question, because some of them are not really self-explanatory in what they intended or what the actual issue was. So normally what would happen is I would take this specific question, look back at the issue report and see, you know, what the underlying motivation was or why this issue was included. And I think as part of the issue report, you know, if it maybe becomes obvious that the question was not correctly phrased or should be differently framed, it would come up at that stage. But I think if there is specific concern in the way this is currently phrased, I would definitely encourage you to actually raise that as part of the discussion, either, you know, through your council members, so that this can be changed as part of the discussion and the motion. I think at this stage, you know, or either make clear that what is there currently is just a copy and paste from something the council adopted or agreed to at an earlier stage. It doesn't mean that cannot be changed, but I think council should just be aware of why they're changing something and then, you know, what the specific concern is. Although I'm actually looking at the document now, it says here as well that this question was apparently first phrased in a different way. So I don't know if that makes more sense or whether instead that could be a recommendation, for example, to revert back to that earlier question. So I would maybe encourage you to have a look at the document and again, maybe talk to your council reps to raise this issue and any concern you might have in relation to that, as this is just a left over basically from a previous initiative relating to transfers.
Okay, I mean, I guess I see what Simonette is saying, Simonette, but that's all well and good, but with what you've quoted, it makes explicit, register name holder or the registrant supersedes that of the admin. The FOA is the documentation that registrars use. It demonstrates you have registration rights, and it's often used to help arbitrate a dispute about a supposedly illicit transfer. I think a very simple way to fix this is, can we just simply add "or possibly the admin contact"? It just will demonstrate that there's some question about that, and it goes to the future PDP team to thrash all this out.
This is Marika again. I mean, the motion has already been made, so it will need to be changed by the person who made the motion, and that's Tim Marie. So I would suggest that you talk with Tim or through James. I definitely see your concern. I said this comes from the original list of IRTP issues, and I just posted in the chat what apparently the original wording was of that question. There's still some more that comes after that. And again, I've had quite some issues as well trying to really dig back into the different charter questions, because this has been done by previous groups. I think we've seen as well that some of the concerns that were raised a couple of years ago are less relevant now. So I, again, some of those things might come up as well as part of the issue report. And I think, as you've seen with what we've done with the UDRP issue report, I think following or anticipating the new GNSO PDP, which basically proposes to have a kind of preliminary issue report that people can provide input on, I guess this would be an area as well, and I'm presuming that we would follow that same approach, where if you feel that the issue is not adequately covered, or indeed there's something wrong with the questions that are being asked, that can be raised at that stage as well. But again, as this motion has been made, you would really need to talk to Tim, or send a note to council, or raise it in the at the Singapore meeting to indicate why you think this should be changed, raise it in that way.
Marika, just a point of clarification. Can the motion be changed at this stage?
Yes, but it would need to be changed by Tim, or someone would need to make an amendment, which then the maker of the motion, which is Tim Maurice, would need to consider friendly. As said, I think it's important as well that in the context of that discussion, the council at least is made aware that this is just the original question from the IRTP, the previous IRTP working groups, but that we now realize that the question might raise false expectation or is not accurately framed, and that based on discussions by this working group or recommendations from this working group, there's a recommendation to actually change the question as it was originally posed. And I said I don't think it is a big issue, and I think it's perfectly valid to raise that and via Tim to make that change. I don't think it's would be seen as controversial. But
okay,
indeed, as James responds, no, we can make a change, because that's the council member's prerogative to make changes to a motion that has been made.
Okay, so somebody needs to. Well, we can talk to Tim. Okay, then James, Mikey, then Simonetta.
So yeah, and I guess I'm offering to Paul, that I can work with him so we can at least get these concerns addressed with Tim, and then if he wants to modify the motion, or if we can get someone else to submit a friendly, then we'll see if that's necessary or not. But I think I'm going to go ahead and put my hand down. Mikkeli, I've been thinking about this a little bit, and I'm not sure I understand the issue well enough to comment on it, because I think that the original Section 3 says that there is an optional FOA that can be sent by the registrar of record to the transfer contact, and I think that we were making that optional bit required, but I must be missing something. So I'm gonna go ahead and drop down. Thanks.
Okay, thanks. Simonetta, Sorry, not Simonetta, Mikey.
Thanks, Michele. It's Mikey. I've been sort of dropping myself to the back of the list. I'm sorry, Simonetta, but the point I want to make is a process point, which is I am uncomfortable that a working group that works for 2 years and has very deep understanding of these issues is suddenly confronted with a motion which we haven't had a chance to review in a forum that is already made. And it just seems to me that the proper sequence of events should have been that a draft motion was reviewed by us before the motion was made, so that a council, which for obvious reasons isn't focused on this, isn't either consciously or unconsciously making dramatic changes to the policy that we've been working on for all this time. So this last little conversation where we discover that there's a horse that's out of the barn that we have no control over, except, you know, fortunately we have Tim as our liaison, and I'm sure that the issue that Paul is raising can get worked out, but that's the wrong sequence. That's a process problem. And I'm mostly saying this to get it on the record, but I do have a question for Marika, which is, do we really have a process right now in the... Is this a process hole in the new version of the working group guidelines where basically there are two separate tracks, one where a working group creates a report and another where sort of out of whole cloth a motion gets created without any contribution from the working group? That strikes me as a big problem.
This is Marika. There's nothing preventing a working group from drafting a motion for council members' consideration. In this case, I took the liberty of drafting the motion to ensure that there would be discussion, and basically I didn't change anything to the working group recommendations. I mean, I just copied and pasted everything that's in the report. The section that you're referring to is from a previous council document, and I said I don't think it's in the working group's remit to make changes to that specific document, but of course the working group can highlight concerns it has with that and you know, request the council to make changes to that. Just to note as well that this recommendation or the motion was actually already made ahead of the last council meeting, I think for the 9th of June, before it was formally made, so that the motion has already been out for quite some time, as well, you know, for people to work through their different council members and representatives to address it. But it's indeed, I should have probably shared it with you earlier. I got it out as quickly as I could to make the deadline for the previous council meeting to make sure that there could be a discussion on this issue. I did share it with Michaela when I sent it, but I should have copied in the working group probably for your input. But as I said, I didn't, you know, add anything new or change anything based on what was in the working group's report.
This is Mikey. Just to follow up on that, I think that it would be a much more comfortable discussion that we would be having right now if we had had this discussion before the motion had been sent to Tim, because then, even though it's not in our remit, we could discover this clause and have a little time to dig back into the documentation that preceded it. Even though it's not in our remit, quite frankly, we're the only people on the planet who really understand this issue, and some of us have been on all of those and can, you know, clarify a little bit of the intent of what was going on. But in a situation where the motion is already on the table, it's extremely difficult to do that. And so I think if nothing else, if you could pass back to the support staff who support working groups that a convention should be that wherever possible, motions are presented to working groups for review and comment before presented to counselors. Because otherwise what we get into is a situation that I've mentioned before, which is I'm trainable. If I'm going to spend 2 years working on a project and then in the in the 15 minutes of attention that this thing's going to get, substantial changes get made by people who aren't really engaged, that doesn't motivate me to do two more years of work. I'll just go lobby my counselors. Sorry for the rant, but, you know, this is a significant process problem in my view.
Well, Mikey, I absolutely see where you're coming from. I do want to point out that I did share this motion on the 9th of June with the working group, and, you know, the motion at that stage wasn't even formally made. It was just a discussion item or a way of you know, getting council discussion going on the report and the recommendation. So there has been opportunity for the working group to look at the motion and provide input prior to it formally being made. So partly from my perspective, as well as not having seen any comments or issues raised, you know, I didn't see any concerns and tried to work with Tim in addressing some of the issues that he saw and trying to find a solution. But I definitely see your point, and you know, going forward, you know, I think here it was as well a timing issue where the working group, you know, delivered its final report, no further meetings scheduled, and a timeline which requires certain documents to be submitted in time, you know, 8 days in advance. But I definitely take your point.
Well, I think the easy way, clearly, working groups, especially this one, really only focus on things when they're on the call and in the agenda. I mean, we're all really busy, and none of us review the list that carefully because we're all on dozens of lists. So I think it's, since this is a major deliverable and essentially the way that our work gets transmitted formally into the ICANN world, it's worth 15 minutes on a call reviewing it so that we pick up stuff like what Paul is seeing before it gets turned into a hard motion that now we have to get a friendly amendment, blah, blah, blah. So enough of that. Sorry. Thanks a lot, Marika.
Thanks, Mikey. Dimonetta?
Oh, I agree with Mikey on that one thing. But my comment was that I almost see that item that Paul was picking up on as part of also the change of control piece. I mean, all these things kind of work together in how transfers with owner update or without it should be done, so it might even be something that should be considered together. So if we're trying to put an amendment in for this little paragraph, we might consider putting some language in that kind of also says that these two relate to each other.
Okay. Paul and James, will one or both of you be following up with Tim on this?
Well,
yes, definitely.
Yep.
Sorry? You're both talking at the same time. Let's try that again.
Yes.
Yes. Okay, fine.
Yeah.
And this is Rick, if I can make one more comment, because I think maybe Tim recalls actually what this question originally intended to do, because I think he might have been involved in the early stages of, you know, the document that I put the link there, which was approved or adopted in March of 2008. So he might recall what the underlying issue was or be able to refer to other documents that might explain what was intended and indeed, you know, clarify to the council why the current question might be, you know, misinterpreted or should be rephrased, you know, based on all your input.
Okay, perfect. Thank you, Marika. Any other issues? Oh, Simonetta, go ahead.
I'm just thinking back to if this is the FOA that goes to the previous registrant, basically at the losing side of this transfer. I think we said the most secure thing to do would actually be to send it to both of them, registrant and admin C contact, so that everyone is aware, but there might be an issue with everyone having the same right to respond. But I would think that it would be safer if more people hear about this name is about to be transferred rather than only one person.
Okay, thanks, Simonetta. Any other issues at this time? We're practically at the end of the hour. Just quickly, okay, who is going to be in Singapore? Barry, you're not, are you? But I think the rest of you are, apart from Rob, who's... oh, there's a few more. Sorry, I didn't realize. I know Rob. Rob is participating remotely. Paul Diaz isn't there. Paul, will you be following remotely, or are you deserting us completely?
12-hour difference. I'm deserting you guys.
Perfect. No problem. And Simonetta, you are not joining us.
No.
Okay. All right. Does anybody have any other issues to raise now, this minute, or can we call it a day?
I was wondering if we could reopen the UDRP issue.
Who is this?
Mikey. Sorry, it's a joke.
Well, actually, Mikey, I have an answer for you.
Can it be transcribed and translated?
Yeah, I was wondering about that, too.
I have an answer for you. It is what there's one of the six common periods that is currently open is in relation to the UDRP. So I think that you if you want to make your voice heard, you could do so in that common period.
No, I don't want to do that. I just want it here. That's the only place I want to raise it.
Oh, okay. Well, I don't think this is a suitable place for you to raise it at this time. But thanks for your offer. James.
Yeah, thanks, McKelly. So two bits of serious business. One is that I guess, you know, Paul and I will follow up with the list, since most people will be either in flight or, you know, preparing to participate remotely. So I think the list is probably the only way to get a hold of folks if anything comes of our discussion with our counselor liaison. And then the other thing was just to say thank you to you and staff, Marika in particular, but all the staff that was involved in this effort and getting this final product ready for deliberation in Singapore.
Thanks, James. I was going to say the same thing about Marika. Marika did a fantastic job putting this all together, and I think actually Rob has worded it very nicely. Just to say, I think Marika's done a great job in preparing the motion and pulling all the disparate items together. I'd have extended that and saying Marika's done a fantastic job dealing with all the disparate everything, things, and including people. Thanks, Marika, for your patience dealing with us over the last couple of years. Right, guys. Oh, we're making her blush. Excellent. I love making Marika blush. It's such fun. If there's nothing else, then I will see most of you in Singapore, I think. And we can, of course, communicate via email. When do we start parts? Hello? Where's the music playing? That's weird. Can you hear me? Have I been cut off?
Yeah, you're fine. That was Marika's phone ringing off after an hour. Her cell phone kicks off.
No.
Oh, right.
Oh, it's not. No,
I have actually
Marika.
Normally an hour and a half. So.
Oh, that's right. Yeah.
Okay. All right, then. So, look, see you all in Singapore. For those of you who are around Friday evening for drinks or whatever, let me know. For those of you who aren't coming.
There.
For those of you who aren't coming, we'll miss you. What time are you getting in, Mikey?
Oh, 0:30 in the morning on Friday. So I'll be
there. So you'll be there. I'm getting in around 6 o'clock in the evening. I know there's a load of people coming in from the States who don't get in until kind of 11 o'clock at night and possibly later.
Yeah.
So I suppose I'll catch up with them on Saturday because of the time difference. I'm going to be completely confused.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Talk to you all at the weekend and via email in the interim. Thanks, all.
Thanks,
see you, McKaylee. Thanks,
guys.
All.
Bye-bye. Bye.